I have preached to you numbers of times on different occasions, and I've told you that I said, folks, at the midnight cry, all of the lights will be out. Watchman, what of the night? I will set watchmen upon thy wall that shall never hold their peace. And watchmen, what of the night? And the Bible teaches, while the people slumbered and they slept, the watchman was there. And while they slumbered and they slept, the bridegroom came, and they all were asleep. Some, as given the terms, is given asleep because they shall be awakened. The Bible said some to everlasting contempt and some to the wonderful glory of God. Some having gone to sleep, having oil in their lamps, some having gone to sleep, did not have the oil, as to all of them being virgins, but part of them having betrayed as to that to which they belong and took their lives and their virtue and done away with that, when the Bible said we're called to virtue and to glory. And without the virtue, they didn't get the glory, which was the lighting of their lamp, even His glory. The Bible said that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching out the inward parts. And if you don't do what God tells you, He said, I'll move your candlestick. So your life is gone. So I'm saying these one or two little throw words just to see where your spirit is at, and as to God being a spirit, as to whether the Father of spirits might communicate with your spirit, as if I have mine in place to where He can minister through me to you. And that I don't get into fleshly exuberance, whether it be in the singing or whether it be in the talking or whatever, as to project flesh and the natural person, as to your flesh and natural person, that you might relate to me in the flesh rather than in the spirit. So, at the midnight cry, they were all asleep. Then the cry came. And when they were aroused, as to the wise, they arose and lit their lamps. And they could see the bridegroom, and they could see what was happening. And they wasn't in the dark. That is to say, if you walk in the light as He is in the light, you'll have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you from all iniquity. And if you are doing your own thing and your interest is in businesses, watching TV, sporting around, fixing your human person, buying and laughing and talking and relatives and going, and the natural things of life, then are ye in the flesh. And if it's in your securities, looking to your own quarter for your own gain, every individual, then are ye in the flesh, and you're not in the spirit, and the love of the world's in you, and the love of the Father isn't there. The kingdom of God is not on the inside of you. So then, the Bible said, he that mindeth the things of the world as to the flesh, then is he of the world. And he that mindeth, that is, keeps his mind on the things of the Spirit, then he is of the spiritual world. So by your doings, you're known as to the child, and that as to the mind that controls you, and that your body can't do anything, and your mind is the controlling factor. So then, those virgins were foolish. And their foolish heart was darkened, the Bible said, and that by the ignorance that was in them, that they should not see good when it come, nor could they comprehend this wonderful light that was to shine in the evening time when gross darkness would cover the people. Even as I said of the black man coming into the law now, sin getting its strength by the law as to darkness, it is shown that it's coming in. And the Lord has always used the black man and the white man, as I said to the brethren last night, in the same way that He uses the Democrat and the Republican. And that is, when the white man gets out of order, He raises up the black man. When the black man gets out of order, He raises up the white man. When they both get out of order, He'll raise up the Chinese or the Japanese or the German. And He always has a balance to where He runs things, working all things after the counsel of His own will. And He uses every color for a certain thing. And to Him, there is no such thing as color in His world. It is just a spirit, and people are angelic beings. But He hath let every angelic being live in a different type body as to appearance, as to characteristics, as to color. And even though the devil's got all this racial problem going and conflict of nations, with God, He just sees everybody as a spirit in a human body. And that spirit, to Him, is either clean or unclean. And the colors represent in natural things what is actually a spiritual thing. you might see a dark color and it might have a precious spirit of light in it. You might see a light color, it might have a dark spirit of a demonic thing on the inside of it. But still, as to educating us, as to the intellectual, to where we can comprehend the heights, the depths, and the width of this light, and that all of the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly understood by the things which do appear. The Bible said, even to the eternal Godhead, so that we're without excuse. Then that means that he hath to do it according to colors and according to what we see, because man looks on the outward appearance. He had to have a man and a wife and children to show God the great spirit as the male and the body as the flesh, as to the woman, and the children as the children of the church. He had to show this so that otherwise, how would I know? How would you see? We cannot see God. Therefore, he has to give us a symbolic thing of it. And as the Bible said, great is the mystery of godliness, and the mysteries of God must be finished, has to be revelated, to be made known to the people. But it's an impossibility for God to do that, as through human beings, as long as there's all kind of minds as to the racial conflicts and as to the upper echelon and the lower and the rich and the poor and the brilliant and the ignorant, and they're while they're striving with each other and fighting with each other, which is demon spirits and human bodies that want to raise themselves up above another, because there's no honor among thieves. And Jesus said he's a thief and a robber, as to Satan and all of his followers. And when a demon gets in one body, it wants to raise itself up and up above another body, regardless to race, creed, or color, and to magnify itself and take what the other man's got. Like I illustrated the other day about the money I gave to the two bums along the way. Maybe you didn't hear it. Maybe some did. But anyway, God has well balanced things. He's kept things in good shape all down through the years. And many hundreds of things that we would like to say about it. But as to trying to find a place of expression, I finally talked to the brethren yesterday morning and yesterday evening. The Lord caused them to gather around like they did even in the days of Jesus, when the disciples would gather around and the Spirit of God would talk to them. And he had me talk to them, and he spoke to me to go ahead and talk to them. I wouldn't do it. I thought, no, I need to get this on tape. I've got to get this through the church. And the Lord let me know that I wasn't going to do it, that my people wasn't in shape to do it. And that to give a little bit to the brethren over here and a little bit over here, like I've had to do at Bethlehem down through the years that we've been here, the numbers of years. Like a lady sitting here, she's resenting me right now. First she started with a spirit of lust, and I didn't cater to her. And now she's resenting me because I didn't. Later, that ought to scare you half to death, because you know who you are. And I've said this before, and because you couldn't get my fleshly attention, you started resenting. You ought to be ashamed of yourself, because you are, as to the church, a prick in their side. The Bible said, if I spare any of you, you'll be pricks in the sides of the people or of me. And you are a hindrance. You sit in the seat of the scornful. You stand in the way of sinners. Your heart's not right with God. You're in the galls of bitterness, the bonds of iniquity, and you need to pray God that he forgive you for the very thoughts of your heart. See, all right, now to get on with our thoughts here, we need to walk in the light as he is in the light, that we might have fellowship one with another. And if you are walking in the light, then you'll come and be with these brethren, these sisters, and you'll help, having seen your brother have need or your sister have need, and shutting up your bowels of compassion. How dwelleth the love of God within you, as to do to these brethren or sisters, or not to do to them, that is, as unto God or not as unto God? And you will be judged accordingly in the day of the judgment, when the saints judge the world. So then, in this, I'm trying to differentiate, or rather the Lord is, as to let you know who is the bride and who is not the bride. And the bride is going to be narrowed down, folks, I tell you again, as to one man looking for a wife. If he's really the right kind of person, he ain't going to marry half a dozen times. He's going to have one bride out of all the women folk. He's going to pick one, and that's going to be his bride, to show you how narrow, how close the thing really is. The adulterer is going to notice a half a dozen of them, just like the woman. She's not going to have one boyfriend as to her husband, but she's going to notice a number of them, and maybe all of them, and even after she marries, keeps noticing them, as the man does the other women, which is the adulteress that shows the great whore and the whoremonger as to Satan and his body. as to the virtuous, pure, holy, godly, upright of the married, and those that are in fidelity to their companion, is to be the very body and bone and flesh, showing the church in the Lord Jesus Christ. Even as to the doctrine of not having other doctrines, the Bible said not to be blown about by every wind of doctrine as to the harlotry thing, and to come into the name of Jesus and not to go after a Trinitarian charismatic foolishness that means the God of Baal or prophesying in the flesh. And, you know, you're supposed to be given. As Paul said, I have a godly jealousy towards you in that I have espoused you to one husband, and I want to present you to him blameless, body, soul, and spirit. So, I come to try to talk with you, and I try to share with you as much as I know how to share with you. And I run into the greatest kind of difficulty. As even Brother Branham in ministering to his people, I remember on different occasions when he would say, well, I'll have to preach till 12 o'clock today. He said, and they'd start early in the morning around 9 or 10 o'clock. And he said, now I'll have to dismiss you long enough to go get you a little bite to eat, but you'll have to come straight back because it takes till about 5 or 6 this evening to finish the sermon. And it's Paul that preached all night long trying to get things over. As Moses 80 days in the mountain, as it was with Jesus 40 days in the wilderness listening to God, as it was Elijah 40 days there in the cave or in his journey listening to God, and constantly the Lord trying to talk with us. And all we're getting in the day that we're living in is little tiny bits and pieces. Because as I say to you, I know you can't get a hold of this, but to understand, it takes folks many nights, all night long on my knees of staying before God, and whether I pray or whether I meditate and sometimes just fall off to sleep and wake up and fall off to sleep, whatever, it takes night after night after night after night after night after night after night, and that consecutively to be able to communicate and understand. And how is it that I come here in 45 minutes, 30 minutes, I come here and you listen, and in your mind, in your human reason, you sum it up and say, I got it. And you don't want to hear anything else, and you close up. And that's it. And I don't get to minister. And I don't get to say anything. And I get grieved, and I just walk out. I come in, and I get grieved. I get a hand clap. I get the respect. You're so kind and nice to me. And you listen just long enough for me to get into a sermon, and Satan takes the carnal mind, and out it goes. And the tapes are messed up, and you know, whether it be for the radio, TV, whatever it is. Or I stumble and stagger around because your intellectual mind keeps interfering, and really it's not you, it's satanic, it's Satan. Just like somebody probing in the light is going on and off. And that spirit that you're interwoven with it is constantly doing it. Or that spirit that's oppressing your body, making you want to go out into the flesh, it savors the things of the flesh. Ain't got time to be holy when the Bible said take time to be holy. It's probing and probing. And I stumble because the Holy Spirit is like a dove. It's so tender. It's very, very, very gentle. And the Bible said the minister must be gentle, patient, apt to teach, long-suffering. See, and it's very gentle. And when he comes in there, he either has to lift up his voice like a trumpet and bring out the sword to plow, to cut down, to reap, to drive out, as to pop the whip and overturn the tables, or he has to become very gentle that the Holy Spirit will begin to minister. And during this time, the Bible said, be very still. Be still and know that I'm God. Not just still in the body because some folks go to sleep. You ever stop them? They're so carnal-minded and so wide awake in the flesh that if you ever stop them in the flesh, they go hard and fast asleep. Or if not, they'll drop their head and go off in a trance like that, half asleep, you know. And they don't half know what you're saying. And with this, it makes it difficult for God to minister to you unless you can be still in your spirit and be wide awake to listen at the things of God. Well, anyway, see how long I've taken, and I haven't even got started yet. So just to get your minds together, to get your spirits together, to get your interest, to say enough to where you will have some kind of incentive towards spiritual things and understand that I'm not playing games, that I'm telling you the truth. See, and the Bible does say that the mysteries of God should be finished. So, in this, I'm going to read a scripture here. I've got your attention, and you're listening, even though it's still a little rebellion out of the woman, but she has dropped the way she was doing, but she don't want to submit her spirit, which just means heartaches for her. The Bible said, submit yourselves unto the ministry as them that watch for your soul. Right? If she can deal with the sickness and the heartaches and the sorrow to loved ones and whatever, I can certainly deal with it. It's no problem to me. But I am here to bless you if I can. All right. Now, I didn't mean to hurt you that caused her to take an outlook altogether different, because she doesn't want to go through that. She's ready to be reconciled. And I say this thing in detail so she'll know for sure, no mistaking it, it's her, because she knows her thoughts. I don't know her thoughts. Man looks on the outward appearance, but if I look into heaven and God is looking at me, and as Jesus, the Bible said, and he perceived their thoughts in his spirit, and said, why does thoughts arise in your heart? If he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and it's not me speaking but him, and if this is not my body, but it's his body, members in particular, and I'm dead but Calvary, and the body gone, then that means that he would do the same thing today. So then I say it in detail so that it won't be no mistake as to who it is, because they can detail the steps of it and know that God is looking at their spirit and their heart with every detail and every reflect, even of their mind. I think one of the most shocking things that I have experienced in my life is when I came to realize that God was watching the intents of my heart and the reflex of my mind, and that Paul's preaching was that God would judge the very secrets of our hearts by the gospel. And it really tore me up when I come to know that. And as I was saying to some the other night, things I would like to minister on that I don't have a chance to, as to the gifts and the way the gifts work, because the gifts are in the church, and the people don't work the gifts because they don't understand the gifts. It's like a gun. Somebody says, well, bless God, I got a gun. I know, but do you know how to shoot it? Do you know how to load it? That's the thing. Do you even know how to use it? Do you know what it should be used for? See, and as I was telling some brethren, that if I come in here, or if you come in here, whoever you are, if you're in the spirit and you're spiritual, and if I come in here or you come in here, then you are in command if you are walking in the spirit. And you are in command of every spirit in every human body. And you are in command of every angelic being that is present. And this other lady that's scrutinizing me, I wish she wouldn't do that. I usually refrain from saying anything to you because you haven't been in here that long with me, and you got the worst old attitude. You need, the world calls it an attitude adjustment. Sometimes you get real afraid and you submit yourself, and then sometimes you start scrutinizing me as if to say, you know, yeah, thanks, he's something, bless God. But I'm telling you, that is an ugly spirit, and it means that you don't have the Spirit of Christ, and it means that you ain't going to heaven like that, and you're wasting your time and my time even coming to church, having heard as much as you've heard. I didn't set too well with you, but the thing is, you shouldn't get in my way. I'm trying to tell you right now that you don't need to get in my way. I'm not trying to bother you. It's just like I told Thornton up yonder. I said, don't get in my way, Mr. Thornton. God sent me out there to do a work, and now I can't do it because you and your people up here are always in my way. But since this terrible calamity has hit him, and this goes to another woman over to my left. See, it was here about middle ways to my left, and then it bounced to a woman about middle ways to my right. Now it bounces back to another woman over to my left about middle ways. That's a little farther back, and her, she's the one that I saw playing ball in the vision when she was out there like a kid, running around playing ball when I was trying to get people's minds off of the ball games and trying to stop them. And she's very carnal-minded, but she'll credit this to herself that she's a regular church attender, which she is, and she comes to church, you know, but she gets in my way so much, and I just try to bypass it. But you've got such an ugly spirit, too. It's not like the other woman, but yours is it's a spirit of lust that works on you. And when you don't get the natural attention, you go the other way, too, as to it's hard for me to describe all these spirits the way they go, you know, as one that's kind of alluring, hiding, like, you know, that you really think that you catch the natural attention. But if you'll pardon my expression, that thing stinks to me. And when something stinks, that means it must be pretty near rotten if it ain't already rotten. And you just have to pardon me as to my expression. I don't mean anything wrong, but that's the way I noted it. It's a little country fellow, and I'm still countrified to that extent. It stinks. It is what God calls vomit on his table, and if you'll leave vomit there a little bit, you'll find it stinks. So then I'm trying to help you, and it looks like this morning that rather than getting to minister to you to go down any trail as to anything of what I'd like to do as to a present day truth, that it's just a discernment thing, that it looks like that I've got so many people out of SOAS. Got one woman here, she's troubled right now. And she's troubled because she watches television, she watches the things on television, she watches the opera, she watches these different things. And she goes there and she absorbs them, she comes to church, and she would like to live for God, but she's not willing to give up her way of life. And she's been trying as of late to make a little difference because she's seen some things that's befell different ones. And she doesn't come ugly to fight against me or whatever, though it didn't set well when I said that because she perceived I was talking about her. And any time you start exposing a spirit, no matter what kind it is, it's going to, as we say, like a little boy, stick its tongue out at you. But I do say one thing, that if she doesn't come in a little more and make a change, there's no need of her coming to church because she definitely is lost and is not going to make it into the kingdom of God. So here, with a little exhortation, it looks like that I'm not going to be able to even begin to get into what I wanted to, even though I took the service early, that I'm not going to be able to get into it. And I thank the Lord, let me take the service early to keep that merit of sing that begins to move over you when you start singing, that you get so in the flesh and get so out of the spirit. And to where I could kind of deal with you just kind of like the world says one-on-one this morning, and to catch your interest enough to be able to help you and maybe a few of you see some things. Because if I stood here for another 30 minutes, I'd say the longer that I stand here, the more that those things will reveal themselves and the more that we would have to say something about it, even as to an individual, to tell you individually who you are and what kind of thing it's got and the way you're thinking and the nature of that thing that's got a hold of you, because the Spirit discerns the nature of it. And when you discern the nature of a thing, it's like a man that knows apples and oranges. He knows fruit. He plants a tree. He sees the tree. He doesn't see any fruit on it, but he recognizes the tree. He knows what the harvest is going to be. He knows what the nature of that thing will be as to whether it's going to be sweet or bitter or whatever. And he can tell you the characteristics of it as to what's going to happen, even as to the taste when it strikes the taste buds. See, and that's what we are. And to complete my little thought here, and it looks like I won't even be able to get started this morning. That's what I want to say. Maybe I won't never be able to say it to you. But I did get a little of it over to some of the brethren. A few in the morning and a few in the evening, a little bit in the morning as to one thing, a little bit in the evening as to another thing. And then a whole lot of things that I wanted to get over, I didn't get over. But if, as pertaining to the gifts, since you questioned it in my life and in other people's lives, whereas you don't have to do that, you could have it in your own life. But in that you do question it, as to the reality and the authenticity of the Lord. And usually wind up with people that blow you down, you know. And some of these television fads. But as a little thought that might help somebody that is sincere, and maybe I can't elaborate on it, but I might say this. First, let me read chapter 10. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven. That's Revelation. Clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet were as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. When he cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. The angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth, and lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished, hath he had declared to his servants the prophet. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make up thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I'd eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. All right, to complete my little talk, first of all, the spirits of lust and covetousness and all kinds of spirits. My, we could just go on and go on. I only speak of these few once in a while because they bother me, even in Brother Taylor singing. I'm sitting over there and I pick up spirits of lust as when Brother Taylor's up here also. And as to one woman to my right, that's constantly, it affects her the whole time of the singing. And of course, Brother Taylor doesn't use the rebuke and the sharp cutting, so everything just flows right in, no spirits whatever, because the rain is on the just and the unjust, and it was that way as to the Old Testament. That's what the singing was for, to get everybody mellorized. So if you can chomp on that a little bit while we talk to the people, and if you can handle that, that'll be all right with me. I just want you to know who you are, because I've contended with that spirit for a long time. And as I was saying the other day, there's people on the campground here, and it looks like this is the morning for this. There's people on the campground that has to leave. They're not going to be able to stay here. We've contended with them for maybe 10 years, 15 years, and we've pleaded with them, and we've asked, and the Lord has let me know that he does not want them on the campground, that they're junk on his campground. And that they are reproaching him, and they're reproaching the brethren, and that if I spare any of them, they're going to be a prick in my side. Whereas trying to be lenient and merciful for so long, they have been a prick in my side. And we have managed so far to get one family off of the campground that was causing me this in every ungodly way. And two more that I'm going to have to work on that I've tried to be lenient with, trying my best to be lenient, and I almost moved one of them off. And they pleaded for me not to in their way, and I was merciful. And the other one has one more time to do what they did, and they'll have to move. It's a terrible situation. Folks, when my own son was here on the campground, and I put him up here, and he was as green as an apple, but I put him up there because he said he was going to serve the Lord, and he kept smoking, I wrote him a letter, or I had Frank to, and I signed it myself, which I usually don't even do, to the people, to let him know that son or no son, he had to leave, and directly he had to leave. And it's for sure like the Lord did as to the God of heaven, when the great Holy Spirit said, this is my son, I'm not going to spare him to eradicate sin, I'm going to give him up and fasten him to the tree. And it's for sure that after this you'll know that I'm no respect of person, that I'm not going to respect your human person if I don't spare my own son. So God chose somebody as to Abraham to do the same thing. And lady, you shouldn't have thought that toward me right over here, because I'm not projecting myself and I'm not saying something to lift myself up as to my son. And if you don't do something, the many times that you've crossed me and as merciful as I've been to you, you're not going to make it in, because you've had a problem with harlotry in your life and a justification to harlotry, and you're certainly going to be in trouble if you don't quit that. I said that to you one time and it tore you up so bad until it took you a while to get your composure. And this morning you're going to kind of fashion yourself to hold yourself. But it ain't going to do any good. You know, if you try to, the Bible said, though you make your face as hard as an adamant stone, he said to the minister, said, don't fear their face. He said, they'll make it as hard as an adamant stone. But don't fear that. He said, you go right on and cut down across it. You raise up your voice like a trumpet. You show my people of their sins. Though they come to church and they act like they've done what's right, he said, raise up your voice and don't spare any of them, and rebuke them openly that others might see and fear. So, in these things, I look and I see all these things. And while God is trying to bring the mistress to the church, which is the longing of my heart, the dream of my heart, to share with the people and the church and the bride, even though it's so little, you know, as to the bride that's going to make it in is so small, but I still want to do that and to share the little that the Lord has given me in such a way that the people's heart would be brightened and a thrill toward the wonderful things of God. See, I can't do it. I can't get it over to you. Like the Lord said to Brother Branham, your people are not going to feed. Go west. And he saw the great mountain of bread in the west, and there he went. And of course, today we're fixing to move west as to
do a little something out there.
As a matter of fact, I put on a shirt this morning. I thought that's really strange because of what all this has to do with. And it was the one that Brother Richard gave me. The name Richard means king of all. And the one that he gave me as having the eagle shear. And I thought, well, I'm not going to wear a shirt or a sweater, even though I did wind up wearing a sweater. It's a little nippy. I thought this would be a little loud for especially Sunday morning service. So I pulled it off. But anyway, I thought that's strange as to going west and the different things happening the way it's happening right now. As to this day and hour in which we're living, as to bring it to the end and to the close, as to that thing, that, as to the Alpha and Omega, as was Paul, the revelation in the beginning, and here it is, Christ as it was in Paul. He said, it's Christ, not me, and here it is, Christ in the end. That is in the midst of the candlesticks, as to the sevenfold light, which we could say much about. But getting on to our thoughts as to just a little thing here concerning the gifts. Coming in, you have to remember we teach three minds. In those three minds as to one mind of God, one mind of Lucifer, one mind of man. And it's a step down from God to man, from man up to God. It's a step up. And it relates to the three heavens, as to the first heaven, the second heaven, and the third heaven. And as to presenting you body, soul, and spirit to God, blameless, and remembering that angels don't have bodies, and there is a bodily realm, and there is a soulish realm, and there is a spirit world. But anyway, as pertaining to just a tiny bit, as concerning the gifts. These three minds, they take hold of you when you're asleep. I've differentiated concerning these things, and I guess this morning, since we're dealing a little with the gifts, I'll just have to exhort you a little bit concerning the gifts and just speak to you just a little bit about the gifts. I do want to remind you that the Bible said the mysteries of the Lord would be finished, and they are being finished in our day, and we're having a little part in it. But I'd like to say this to you, that if you come in here, and we'll just elaborate a little bit on this theme, since our time is pretty well gone anyway as to the service this morning. If you come in here, and if you are a spiritual person, let's say you come in among the people, not necessarily here, anywhere. It don't matter if you walk into a room or wherever you walk when you're among these people. So you come in, and you are among the people. I come in up here, I'm among the people. Now, when I come in, or when you come in, if you are spiritual, then if the rest of the people, or even if they are spiritual and at that time is in a lax condition, or if they're not spiritual and they're just there, and you come in among them, at the moment that you come in, being directed of God, if you come in to talk with them like I do many times, when you come in, the very moment that you come in, you are in command, and you have the ability, the power, and the authority from God, as long as you act in the name of Jesus, to take control of every human spirit. For inwardly you are an angelic being, and you are an angel. Whether it is a fallen angel or the other kind of angel that has become interwoven with you, whether it is an oppression of the evil angel on your body to oppress your angel as to that which is the right kind of spirit on the inside in that you have been born into iniquity with that infiltration in your flesh, even the spirit of foolishness that's bound into the heart of a child that comes with him at the birth, having to have a rod of correction to even get him in line for the teaching before he gets older. The child left himself to bring shame. Well, anyway, if that's the spirit, evil spirit oppressing you in your body, then you might be the right kind of person to the extent you've never come to the knowledge of the truth. And someday, receiving a new birth as to the kingdom of God within you, it'll eradicate that as to the world within you into which you're born as to the fall from the garden. And then with this, God will begin to work his way from within as to this heavenly treasure in the earthen vessels into your outer being as to be made manifest the very life of Christ in your mortal genes. And if you have gone to know and rejected it, then your spirit has become one as the worm within the core of the apple, even the seed rotten within the clod. And that means that your spirit is forever cut off. You are twice dead. Dead by the body of the Lord Jesus, and that the grace has brought blood atonement to put your body out of his mind so that he can't smite you before the end of the church ages, is to give grace and to give time for the world to continue on, that the saints may have a place and that they may come out from among the people. But you're finished. You'll never be saved. And if you have been born again and be oppressed by the outer spirit, then you are not as a spirit that has not come to the knowledge of the truth. You are one that has come to the knowledge of the truth, and the Holy Spirit has sealed your spirit by, as to the safeguard within the garment, and now the stain can't penetrate. Grieve not the Holy Spirit by allowing your human senses to be enticed by the things of fallen angels and Satan, who savors the things that be of the flesh and making provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust or the desire thereof. See, and so then in this you have a sealed unto the day of the change, the redemption of your body, which is the purchased possession, or that is to say that was purchased at Calvary, which was your body, and cannot come in until the Jews, which are out of the presence of God in the darkness, showing the death of that body, comes back in at the end of the church ages at the Thessalonian change, where the appearing of the natural head comes the natural members, and that is to the resurrection of the dead, which shall exhale those that are still alive in Christ that remain with the seal, who will be changed at the coming of the resurrection of the dead. So then in this, until those Jews come back in, until the darkness be passed. See, you are not children that are in the darkness. You are children of light, as to what Daniel said, and the angel said unto him, 490 years determined upon thy people, Daniel. And we've been wanting to tie these things together, but we haven't been able to. And when he said 490, that's all there was. There was not one day less, one day more. Just 490 years. And that is determined upon thy people, Daniel. And that will be the end of the world, and there will never be any more world. So Daniel, from your day, look down through the telescope of time, and you know now there's only left 490 years for the world. I won't give them another day. I won't give them another year. Just 490 years and I'll end the world and I'll bring judgment. All right, so we know then there wasn't but 490 years, but we get confused when we look at the intellectual side of it as to the old tree of knowledge, because even in the historical insertion as to biblical history, it tells us that there was 500 years as to silent ages, and during that time as to the prophets being missing. So then we know that something is wrong. But nevertheless, we see it according to the biblical thing, and we say, how then do we understand, Lord? Because we know that from the time of Daniel, it has been multiplied hundreds of years. We've had, even from Calvary, almost 2,000 years. We're going into, right now, the second century, even from Calvary. 10 years, a decade, 100 years, a century. A millennium, that is, we're going into the second millennium. We're going into not the second century, but the second millennium. And we're going into the second millennium now. See, as to a millennium, meaning 1,000 years. And a lot of people get off in those natural terms. But here we are. See, and God said it wasn't but 490 years. Then I asked the Lord, when I go as Daniel did in his day, to seek God, to say, Lord, what's going to befall my people in the end time? And then I say, I know what you're saying, Lord, because I hear the Spirit. Daniel prayed, said, what will befall my people in the end time? Or Daniel, in that you've come to seek me to find out what's going to befall your people, then we get the answer. And we know that God is dealing with Daniel strictly concerning the Jews, which is his people. So then we know that the 490 years is determined upon the Jews as to his people. And that's all they're going to have as being in the presence of God. So then we see the 483 years as to that part of 490, and it stops at Calvary. And the Jews are put out of the presence of the Lord, and they're blinded in part. And they're no more in the presence of the Lord. Not that they're not in the presence of the Lord, in that the blood is on the seat of atonement and is coming down upon them. Just like the people of the world, they parallel with that. They're in the presence of the Lord, and that the Shekinah is coming down upon them to save the rain on the tares as well as the wheat. But not in the presence of the Lord, in that
in the day under the law, they could see God through Moses. And now they cannot see God. They cannot find God. They do not know where God is. That's the part of their life that's blinded. As to the half-brothers of the 10 tribes that we spoke to the brethren about, of which we can't bring that out. It takes too much time. As to Joseph and Benjamin, as to having to do with the different nations and the different people, we say half-brothers because those people, as to the 10 tribes, God is their father by act of creation as to the body, but not their father as to the spirit. And we are, as to whole brothers, as to Joseph and Benjamin, that is to say America and Israel and not the rest of the nations. But we are religious as to whole brothers, as to the body and as to the spirit. See, because we are God's by creation, act of creation in the body. We are God's by new birth in the spirit. Well, anyway, I have to bring in so many multiplied things of detail to where you can understand and catalog it in your heart. It's like reading a book. You have to read every line and every word of it to get the story. You can't just go start at the beginning and turn over and read the back page like some people do and close the book. So through the transitional changes of time, we see this thing unfolding as the mind of God, as the foreknowledge of Christ, as the image in which we're made for Him, by Him, and to Him be all things, praise, honor, glory, and all things consist by Him. So we see as to the predetermined thing in the mind of God, and then that mind given to us at the rent veil of Calvary, that it might come into our hearts and reveal to us the half that the Jews don't have when they were blinded, as to see from Calvary back and of that which Moses wrote, even to Genesis and the garden, but not from Calvary's to the rent veil. They're still looking through the veil of Moses. Paul said in the veil, as to that death veil that come in through that intellectual thing, through the beast, the weakness of the flesh, as from Lucifer, as to intellectual worshiping of God, and that by a law of the written letter, which killeth. Sin bringing, getting strength by the law, and that's the killer. See, and so when we come to Calvary, the veil being rent in twain, they're put out. And that veil is still over their face. Even until today, it's untaken away, even as Paul said in his day, it was untaken away. Which veil is done away with in Christ? And as soon as Christ appears, then the veil will come off of their eyes and they'll see the Messiah, and they won't reject Him as they did before, as to give mercy to the Gentiles, but they will receive the Messiah, acknowledge the nail prints, and then the end of the world. So then the Jews only had 490 years as to God being with them, and that the world, because they represent the natural side of the world. Whereas there has been, as to the church ages and all this time from Calvary, reaching over to the tribulation from the 483 to the 7, which is not the world. It is heaven. And it is our dispensation of glory and blessing. And we are they that dwell in heaven. And we've been translated into heaven. And we go all down through the church ages, in that the door that was opened by Peter was the 7, dividing itself from the 490, leaving the 483 as the church ages. And that was the door open in heaven, and the bridge is to that, where God struck that capstone, as to the stone coming crying, grace, grace, is the pyramid city, and that all-seeing eyes to the revelation, which was Paul, is to bridge that thing over the church ages, to expand that thing as to that 7-dimensional projecting, even as Jacob saw it as the stairway to glory, and the angels ascending and descending. And when Jesus came, He said, from henceforth ye shall see the angels descending to and fro upon the Son of Man. When He revealed the man's heart to him and told him the thoughts of his heart, when he marveled. So then in this, when God smote Jesus, we esteem Him smitten of God, and yet God didn't do it, but allowed for it, so He credited it to Himself. And when He smote that stone and the light refracted, and the colors, scientists say that all of the colors are in light. And when light struck that stone, and Jesus, that capstone, had come to fulfill every jot and tittle of the law, all that Moses had ever done, to lay it away and bring grace by rending the veil. And when the veil was rent in twain, as to the Bible saying, and even the rocks rent, as to the capstone, then the light refracted and going over the church ages, as to a 7-dimensional projecting, as to first church angel, second church angel, third, and on down to 7-fold light, as to scientists saying the day star here, and then it will grow brighter, and with that burn the people, and they'll be burnt with the sun, and then like that it'll take a nova, and it'll go away, and the whole earth will be in darkness,
to show the sun of the day start dawning within your heart that it's growing brighter all the time, all the time. And here we could stop in television. It was going to try this morning if we'd had the time, which I know that you will not give me. And if I'd had the time, I would have brought in a vision as a confirmation of this as to the very present truth and the present moment. But anyway, dealing with you like children and hurrying as fast as I can to say as much as I can to get over all that I can, that I get it on tape, that you can at least go back and refer to it, then it makes it real difficult. But anyway, the Lord speaking, I just have to move along as to the best I can. So, we realize the covenant as to the ark of Calvary when the body of Jesus was there, which ark God Himself made and pitched in His own likeness. And that at the fullness of time, as to the time when this son came as the promised seed, Isaac being typical of that, unto the seed to whom the promise was made that he should fulfill the law, fulfill all of God's desire, and that he would be the perfect one, and that which is perfect is come, and the veil would no longer be there. We would see face to face, being the bride, going into the secret chamber, God removing the veil as to the expose of the woman as to the man, and therefore to reproduce his own image. And so then we find out that that is the man and wife, even as it was Eve and Adam. So, and the law of the Old Testament. So then we find that there is the ark. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. And there upon the mount of God, as the ark upon Mount Ararat, and then the spanned over of the church ages for you and I, so the spanned over from that time as we give grace back to the Jews by going away, as they did going away and giving grace to us through the church ages, and seven times over, as it was said in the Old Testament, let seven times pass over the tree, cut it down. The band was put on it. The angel said, let seven times pass over it, and then after that it will live again. And as to many things that we spoke of and could say this morning. So we find then that with this, as to great is the mystery of godliness, with this there is a radiating light that is coming forth from this great, wonderful revelation which is approaching, which started at Calvary as to not Paul but Christ, and yet it was Paul, to the suffering. And then he said, it's not me living but Christ. And as to the churches he established on over unto the nine, the seven as to a typical thing of that that's finished, as Jesus said. And Christ in the midst of the candlesticks, as would be Paul in the midst of the churches at the beginning, not I but Christ living, that it might be as to a transformational change from Paul the body to Christ the body, of which ye are members in particular, as this light comes to you in according to the measure of whatever you're able to receive, as that light within Jesus revealed itself, beginning as a little babe and as the vision that I saw that I don't have time to relate, or maybe as it would come maybe later. But anyway, as it grew, as through that light revealed in you to the full measure, the full stature, and then thus you are no longer you that live, but the Lord Jesus. And even at this very moment, you're sons of God, because the child, when it was born, immediately was caught up to the throne. Which throne is within you? As to Christ, God within Christ, and Christ being that throne, and the Lamb of that beautiful city, and you within Christ, and Christ within God, and God within Christ, and Christ within you. So then, that means as to an interwoven thing, that great wonderful light revealing to you according to your measure. If you are a child, if you are a teenager, if you are as to one of an adult, or you are as one that is grown with many years as to the ancient, even the ancient of days. And with this, that light grows according to what you allow and the way you care for it, even as the mother that carries the seed that's reproductive unto life, and as the ground as to the field carrying the seed is the reproductive unto life, as to the care of the rain, the sunshine, whatever, the nourishing. See, as to the condition that will present itself when life appears. So as it passes through the stalk, first time and season, as we say. So it grows and it grows and it grows, which is the mind of Christ within you, even Christ, the hope of glory, because He alone was made heir to that beautiful, radiant light of glory. Called to virtue as away from the things of the world, to be virtuous as the virgin, and then as to the glory that shall be revealed within you because of you being virtuous, as to the 10 virgins and the oil, which is the Holy Spirit within your lamp. Anything without oil, as to wood or whatever, it dries up, it withers up, it goes, it rots. So, That's why I don't agree with the modern-day painting is the way they use their paint. And they try to convince me that the paint of today is to this water paint is just as good as the paint of yesterday because it lets the wood breathe and all their scientific fads, falsely so-called. I know that oil penetrates wood and that you're moving away symbolically, away from the thing that preserves and that you could put oil in wood and keep oil in wood and you didn't put any paint on it. It'll stay there because oil and water won't mix. And where there's anything that will absorb water, then that means that just as soon as the sunshine comes, it's going to heat it up and pull that water out. And when it pulls the water out, it's going to pull the preservatives as to those things that preserve the wood. And spiritually speaking, as to a spiritual application, you're going to rot. So then we have the oil of gladness. He hath anointed us with the oil of gladness. So we understand all things about the mind of Christ, whether it's natural, spiritual, or science, falsely so-called. Then we realize then that this little light, this understanding, the predetermined thing of God that was given to us in Christ before the world was, is now given to our angelic being hid away within us. And with that, we desire not to make any provisions for this outer man. And we allow him to perish as mortifying the deeds of the flesh, as denying ourselves, and let him perish. And while he perishes, the outer man is renewed day by day. And it isn't that you go away as to the outer man other than anybody else because age is going to catch up with you. And my, what I wish I could say about age is too. The contrast and the differentiating to show that age is not what kills folks. So, in this, as the Hebrew children, when they did not eat of the king's potion, they did fast unto God and they abstained. And they did as it was unto God according to His will. And at the end of that, they were more radiant than anybody else. Because what gives radiance? Eating and drinking? If it does, why don't you radiate when you wither up and go to die? You're still eating beans and potatoes and you're still eating steak and you're still, I see elderly people just cramming it in. You know, why doesn't it work like that? Because there is only one form of life, that's quickening. That's the Spirit. And when Paul summed up everything as to the revelational thing, he said, folks, there remaineth one thing, and that is the quickening. That the last man, Adam, was made a quickening spirit, as to the first man from the dust to the dust, in that he rejected the quickening. Now, so we could just go on as to the illumination, as to the infilling, and the many things that we'd have to say about that. So this light you receive as to knowing the depths of Satan, and as the Bible said, it'd be good if that man had never been born, that betrayed the Son of Man. See you the same way as to the heights of His glory and the full measure of being caught up as it was to the third heaven. See, you have the opportunity. But if ye be a babe, ye be a babe. And you just have to desire the sincere milk of the Word. That doesn't mean that you're not going to make the translation. That does not mean that you're not going to be part of the God family. For the babe is as much part of it is the dad and mother, the son and daughter that's older. And wherever they go as a rule, God is not like some of you people. Some of you people, you don't know how to be a mother. You don't have any desire to be a mother nor a father. If you was a father, you wouldn't let the mother do what she does when she always gets a babysitter and leaves her children with somebody and won't nourish and look after them, and especially wanting to go out on a job. You'd say, I'm not going to have that kind of evil doing, you're wretched, and you know you're wretched to want to do that, or your mind wouldn't be out there, period. Let's give the Lord a hand. Don't you to drop them, blow away. So then, God is not like that. He hasn't gone off and leave His children. He's going to take them with Him. When He goes, the babies will go. It's been my way down through the years when I went as a rule, unless the Lord told me different, I took my babies. I took my wife with me. And I heard a lot of preachers say, well, I have to go by myself. I can't afford it. I thought you gullibly eat and drink all the time that I see you and you're around me. And I'm living by faith just like you're living by faith and God affords it for my family. And I've told them, I said, I read in the Old Testament that when God said for the people to go worship God and leave Egypt, Pharaoh said, leave the wife and children. God said, not so. And the men said, not so. They go where we go and would not go unless they went. And God was able to provide for them. So usually those that run around by themselves are usually after women anyway. And the women usually run off to the job or after men anyway. They don't care about being on the job. That's not their interest. They want to get money so they can buy and spend and be away from home. They usually, if you'll watch them, they'll get independent, they'll get haughty, they'll get contrary. And if you try to be their leader ahead, you can't do nothing with them. You just have to ease along with them. And most men, sad to say, they're such poor thing as to manhood that as long as that woman can make a dollar and they think they can get her paycheck, they're going to send her out there because they could care less about her anyway other than just the passion end of it. Well, in the light of all these things, we're growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus toward that wonderful, wonderful thing of God. And the shepherd is there to help lead you. I see people, they say, well, Brother Pike, I'm a shepherd too. Another one in the flock says, I'm a shepherd too. And another one in the flock says, well, I'm a shepherd too. So they listen at the thing they want to listen at. They take it the way they want to take it. And different ones come in and out and say, I'm a shepherd too. That's fine. I find no fault with that. That's no problem. I have no problem with that. See, but I would like for you to explain one thing. Where did you ever read in the Bible or ever know of in all of your lifetime where a sheep turned into a man and become a shepherd? If you find out, I'd like for you to explain it to me. That's a great mystery that I'd like to understand. So then that means there's something wrong. You don't evolve, as scientists falsely so-called says as to your little human reasoning. You don't evolve from a sheep into a shepherd. No more than a shepherd evolves from a shepherd into a sheep. And that means that there aren't any such thing. Shepherds are as prophets. They are as the fivefold ministry, which is a predestinated ordination. And if they go to school, they can go to school all of their life. If they listen to shepherds, they can listen to shepherds all of their life. They can fast, they can pray, they can do what they want to. When they get through, they're still a sheep. They're still a sheep. So, somebody would say, well, have you ever heard of a sheep praying? The kind of sheep I'm talking about, they're praying sheep. You ever heard of one of these little grasshopper types things? They call them a praying whatever. You know? And sometimes the sheep fast. If they don't fast, sometimes there's nothing there for them to eat, so they can fast. And the kind of sheep that I'm talking about still don't turn into shepherds. So then that means that this is a divine thing that's given in the foreknowledge of God. And as to the prophet said, and I was called to be a prophet before I was ever formed in my mother's womb. And as Judas, let another his bishopric take. As to the elect, which is even the sheep and not the goat, it's his election by foreknowledge. All foreordination. And them that were foreordained to eternal life believe. The rest could not. They were blinded. So then if there was a shepherd, he was called to be a shepherd. And he is a shepherd, and if he is a shepherd, he is among the sheep. Though he may be a baby, and he may be like the eagle among the chickens. But one day he'll fly out of the midst of them as to the eagle. And find out that he lives in greater heights and greater places. And if he does nothing but just mess around with the sheep, day after day and year after year, doesn't matter how much he blates and hollers, I'm a shepherd. It makes no difference. He's still a sheep. He might be a ram, but he's still a sheep. Because there's to the male and the female. But he's still the sheep. But a shepherd will be altogether different. He'll be altogether different in his nature. And as I said, as to the ruling with the rod of iron, as to the innermost within you, it'll be different. So we could go on and go on elaborating on these kind of things as to the error of the church today and why that the thing is in the condition it's in. Sheep do not lead sheep. Neither does the shepherd beget sheep, but shepherds lead sheep. So there's a few rams among them that fights the wolf if he comes around the sheep when the shepherd isn't there. And those rams are there. They're strong. They've got great horns and they can bust the side of a wolf. They watch after him. But they're still not shepherds. So when we find these kind of things, when we go to speak of these gifts as to authorities and powers and whatever, for as the Bible said, submit yourself unto the authorities and powers, the magistrates, for this is ordained of God, and that the law is not a terror to the righteous, but the wicked. And when you see a law, a terror to the righteous is not a law. It's a corruption. See, and so with this, Paul went on to convert over in his conversation, taking as it would be Jesus the natural allegoric thing to get to the spiritual man as to that which with which he is concerned, and said, so submit yourself to the shepherds, those that are ordained as the powers and authorities, for they watch for your soul, which a lot of people don't, even as was the case this morning. But when I speak of the gifts, I'm just saying a few more things here to close. When I speak of the gifts, a person comes in here, a person out there, as to a shepherd, or them that are gifted, and among the sheep, they are gifted. It is life within the sheep, though he be a sheep, even as it is life within the man, though he be a man. It's the same life in the tare and in the wheat, though the natures be different, the offices different, the gifts different, and whatever there is, they differ. So when you come into the midst of the people, if you be spiritual, being used of God, and that sometimes mightily, even as Joseph in a dream, and even as Solomon in a dream. Yet it doesn't really say anything as to pointing to a prophetical thing as a prophet to Solomon, but it does David. In that Solomon had a side to fulfill that was a spiritual side, David a natural side. And Solomon married many women, which indicated not as Jesus sent to the Jews only, but rather more as to the Paul side of it, which was sent to the Gentiles as to many churches or all kind of people. But in this, if I should come in here as an individual or you should come in here, wouldn't make no difference who it was. God's no respect of person. If you lack wisdom, you go to God who give it to all men freely, and he does not braid any. But that still doesn't mean you are a shepherd. It's something that you can have to work out your salvation with while you learn through the shepherd, fit things together as God bit by bit revelates things to you. But if you come in and you are in the Spirit, if you be born again and you are born to the Spirit, the Bible said then walk in the Spirit, and here you go, somebody then is walking in the Spirit and not fulfill the desire of the flesh, the lust thereof, to provide for its desire. So you come in, and when you come in, there you are in the midst of them. Not as a natural being, but as a spiritual being. Because your body is under subjection, Paul said, keeping it under subjection, lest I preach to others and I myself become a castaway. And keeping the body in tune with God through prayer, through fasting, through submission, through study, through meditation, through thinking all the time to every thought to the mind of Christ. That when the Spirit starts working through you, it won't have any hindrance in this outer veil where the infiltration is as to that mind of carnality and science, falsely so-called, even the spirit of that thing of death that knows nothing of spiritual things as to light, but is a ruler of darkness, and the world being the place of darkness, then down here in this dark world is the God of this world, while you dwell in heaven as children of light and fellowship Christ, which is the world of light, and your spirit is not in this body that's buried in the dust as in this world of darkness. You are buried while you are here. You are dead and you are buried. And not twice dead as to the inner person. Some are as to the spirits of demon spirits and human body. But you dwell in heaven and you are they that dwell in heaven. You are the body of the Lord Jesus. God's looking at him that overcome that sat down in heaven which is his throne. And he looks upon the bodily part that's buried down there which is the footstool where the old generation of vipers is as to Satan, Lucifer, that's striking at the soul or striking at the heel, can't get to the soul as to the foundational part. And it's symbolic while we're up here with the word of God and that little stone and the sling of faith smiting his head, and we're up a high level stomping upon his head. So here we are as the body of the Lord, and the Lord's looking straight at the body of Jesus Christ through that blood to all of you. And all he sees is your spiritual inner being. And he doesn't look upon your outer ugly countenance of that first birth of the bastard child born out of wedlock. Though you paint your face and hang rings in it, that's Satan. Though you pompadour your hair and do all you can to look pretty and beautiful, to look enticing, and as men to look alluring. And though you just run off at the mouth like your tongue is cut loose, somebody said, at both ends and tied in the middle, and your enticing, slimy, slick, cunning words, whether it be for money or whether it be For the other things of the world are prestige. You're weaving your way like a spider into the place that you'd like to go for the kill. See, whatever it might be, that's the thing that God hates. That's the thing God despises. This world is vanity. All is vanity, vexation of the spirit, lust of the eyes, pride of life. It belongs to you who are the body and you who are the flesh. And you have your heaven. And there you are. But Paul said, I'd like to present you body, soul, and spirit. And you have what you want. And it's said to the rich, you have had your reward. And Lazarus, likewise, the bad things. Now he's comforted and not tormented. So then we know that they that are made for this world are made for this world and do mind the things of the flesh, and they that are mindful of the things of the Spirit are made for that world, and they do mind the things of that world. And one hath the world within them, and to desire as to utilization of strength, toward ego as to their human senses relating to the natural, tangible side of life as to the vanities, and is the bond's child by means of the bondage to the beggarly elements of the world, in that their appetites desire of them, and all other labor is for their belly, because their belly craves it of them, and their mouth craves it of them, and upon their belly shall they go all the days of their life to eat dust, because from the dust they are, to the dust they shall return. But ye are from heaven as to the foreknowledge of God, predestinated, elect, as to that which are God's, which means members of the God body. And Jesus said, Father, as to this body, I've not lost one of them, not a member. And the one that was Lucifer, the son of perdition, was never a member of that body. All that you've given me, I shall raise them up in the last days. As to the foreknowledge, you gave them to me, and I'd like for you to restore unto me as to my membership. Let these be with me, beholding my glory as when I sit upon my throne, and they see my glory, even as they've been with me, as to some of these, beholding the shame, going to Calvary, despising the shame thereof, but for the joy set before me, endured it. So then we know that we are the body, and the Spirit of God has come upon us, because the Bible said, now the glory of the Lord has risen upon thee. O Zion, put on your beautiful garment, speaking of the time when the glory will come to the Jews, is that time, and they will see the light, and they'll change from their natural body, as Paul said, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, to that spiritual body after having gone through the millennium regime, to that celestial world. But you and I, as to Calvary, the veil has been rent, which means this bodily veil has been taken away from the spiritual inner man. And it was smit and rent from top to bottom as to thorns and all of the things. Like, as we use the terms to clarify it in your mind, a swine will rend you. See, and there he rent the veil in twain, that he might plant the body, add the old man to Adam and the sins. Paul said, and who shall deliver me from the body of this death, and take you out as to the metamorphosis, and leave the cocoon as to the old shell in the earth, and as to the beautiful butterflies, to the heavenly creature, as to take you as to be resurrected, delivered for offenses, a sinful image, and raised again for justification, delivered for transgressions, raised again for justification, as to the Christ, as to the butterfly side of it. Now, so then, here we are in heaven, because butterflies are heavenly, and we are in flight, and we're enjoying our wonderful exuberance and the glorification of the beautiful color of the rainbow, as he has glorified us, justified us, sanctified us, predestinated us for knowledge, and we are complete in him. So, having been sanctified to this cause, now here we are. Where are we? We are in heaven. Somebody says, waiting for the rapture? No. Why am I waiting to go somewhere that I already am? As Jesus said, the Son of Man which is in heaven, even that the heavens have received, and you say that you are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And the Bible said he is hid within God, and you are hid within him, which is hid within God. Wherever he is, there you are. Whatever he is that you are, you overcome and sit down in the throne, because you are there with him as his spirit within God's spirit, and your spirit within his spirit, and that spirit leaving this body, and the spirit going back to God who gave it at death, and death taking the body, and the body being planted as to the fulfillment of the law, and no law over the spirit, and the body dead to the law. no transgression because of no law, no death, no sin. See, so there we are now. And from Calvary, as to the opening of that door, the 483 to the 7, the church ages and the ministering of this wonderful word of the mind is to the light to you as that little light growing toward the full stature of the whatever measure you will allow. A dropout in school, third grade, fifth grade, a diplomacy as to a professional world with a professional life with the riches and the prestige. Everything understood by what you look at naturally. Man looketh on the outward appearance. So it's very obvious that with this, the church is moving into the sevenfold light and the Lord is coming. Though he receded at the first, the flash, the negative, the darkness, death. Now that Shekinah covering has come back to the inner man. And a temporary thing is to the blood on the seat of atonement. So the glory has risen upon you from Calvary. And the veil has been rent in twain. And he said, put on your beautiful garments, Zion, where it is the body of the Lord, because you've taken off your dirty, filthy garments as that which you was born of through Adam. And the Bible said, put on your beautiful garments. And Paul brought it a little clearer to the Revelator, saying, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Cover with the covering, as the prophet said, and the Lord said, and that covering be of me as a garment that's been tried in the fire. For I counsel of the others, you buy of me raiment that's been tried in the fire. This passed through the flames of hell, and it was never singed, like the Hebrew children. So, the Hebrew children is to the Trinitarian side of it, and Daniel is to the oneness side of it. Peter is to the Trinitarian side. Sin built three tabernacles as the first papacy to prophesy in Baal. And the move of the Trinity Church. And the voice saying, one, bringing it all as to three in one, or showing that Elijah and Moses and all they stood for come forth from Jesus. And that at the end of the rending of the veil, that it was to come back into Jesus. And many things we would have had to have said here if we had went into it as concerning the Federalists, the Republican, the Democrat, and the different nationalities, which we don't have time to say. But with this, this brings us into a perspective to where we are they that dwell in heaven. And all we're doing is moving from glory to glory as to a transformation of mind. First as to a new birth of translation of spirit, in that my spirit is translated into his spirit. And his spirit is in mine, is to the safeguard. And Satan can't touch me because of him that overcomes Satan. Satan can't get near me because now it's not me living but him. And the darkness can't get near the light because light makes darkness dissipate. And there's no fellowship between light and darkness. So then in this, when we see these things, then we know that God before us, nobody can be against us. And here we find ourselves in this wonderful condition as those that dwell in heaven to rejoice forevermore, all things being ours, say what we will, that's it. As we think in our heart, so are we. As to a heavenly order or earthly order, or as to have heavenly or to be tormented and aggravated by earthly devastations of thoughts that bring evil spirits. So, as to a translation tutored by the revelation as it grows within you unto the change, as it was with Enoch who was changed not to see death, and as it is moving in you toward that change of that heavenly one that comes, as to when that head comes and all the members suddenly are there, as to the change, which means the birth of the child, all at one time, and thus it is, having had the birth as to the beginning and the headship as to beginning from Calvary, the rent veil, the opening of the matrix, and all the way down into the finishing of the seven light, seven lights or the sevenfold light as to the seven lights, which are messengers individually. And then at the end, all of a sudden, this headship appears, and that is to a natural head, to a natural Jew, as it would be the body of the Lord Jesus as they would see it. With the nail prints and with the body coming forth out of the grave, the opening of the matrix again, all of a sudden the child is there. And we which are alive and remain, so it is with us, that it breaks forth from the shale. The glorification of that membership which belongs to that Christ, even as the glorification of that bodily image that will come up, which belongs to Jesus, that will not change, but go through the tribulation period and go through the millennium unto the celestial, while we already have been changed, riding over all of this as of the tribulation, setting down in the millennium to anoint him king, and yet we are of the celestial world, being the spiritual Jew, going to relate to the spiritual head, which is the spiritual Christ that's already here. And the Jews are thus waiting while he does what he's got to do, is to steal the jewels or take them out during the night. Not to steal them in that he's not a thief, but to be likened unto. So the night, the intellectual, the carnal reasoning as to coming in at the midnight cry when the little woman will light her candle. So as to the inner part, the candle of the Lord, being ready with the oil to receive the bridegroom. Now with this, then comes the morning with the light, and the breaking forth of entering into his presence is to be with him forever. And when we realize that we are in this condition and this is the way we are, then we know that the thing is to the man-made application rapture and millennium, that there's something that's got us confused. And we could go on elaborating on this, but I wanted to drop in a thought here as to that concerning the gifts, so we won't. And in this, we suddenly realize the voice has come up in to heaven, the door is open. And John, who represented the church as to the change of the body, just as the end of the church ages, when the tribulation period is coming in for the Jews, up he goes. But this already happened at the first of the church ages, as to you and I, when Paul was caught up into the third heaven, receiving the revelation and saying things that I cannot utter at this time of season, and that it was Christ that was to give it forth from within him. I don't know whether it was in my body or out of my body, he said, but I do know that whether in the body or out of the body, spiritually speaking, we should be at home with Christ. Our spirit still should be within the spirit of Christ at all times. Every thought into subjection. And if you see your brother overtaken in a fault, you that are spiritual, restore such a one. Be gentle with him, lest ye be tempted. So we know that we that are spiritual could go on and go on with this wonderful thing as to what Christ is doing as to right now and what he will do as to Jesus to the Jews. But we have to be ready. We have to get out of here. Things that I wanted to speak on this morning as to how close. But remember one thing. We've got to be ready. Be also ready for an hour that you think not the Son of Man cometh. Not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall inherit the kingdom of God. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Not everyone that cometh to church and doeth whatever they might do. As to praising the Lord through singing, clapping your hands and these kind of things. Every time you do that, the terror does it too. Because that singing brings an inspiration to the flesh as to the human senses. And that's the rain on the injustice of the terror. To create the atmosphere so the Spirit can speak and won't have a hindrance. It's the way of taking into captivity those spirits that have control of the body, because it pulls, as it was the days of Saul with the playing of that music, pulls that body away from that evil spirit to where it can't have any control of that body while it is in this spirit of joyful merit as to the rain upon them. Then when the preacher comes, it's like as to the opening of the matrix, the divine conception, and everything is just right as to bring forth the image. So as to that which is already harlotry, it's already a sealed thing, and there is no conception, and there is no bringing forth as Mary as to the image. I travail to Christ before him within you. And as it was said of Israel, thou hast opened thyself to every evil thing, God said to Israel, and ye are a harlot, and that which is within you is an abomination as to that bastard child image, and out of harlotry, and he put her away. So, not as to many doctrines, but as to one doctrine, even the seed of Christ, he with the hope of glory within you. So, if I come as one spiritual, or you come as one spiritual, and ye are there, then I have a brain, if we use as to an illustration of the pastor, not as to personal reference, but as to a pastor. If I have, then, as a shepherd, I have a brain. If I have a brain, then I am a shepherd. And spirits don't have brains. God is a spirit. The only brain he has is the Jesus brain. And the fullness of God, his administration is through that brain. And he is a spirit, which is the quickening life. And his administration is through the blood of Jesus, not in measure, but in altogether as a fullness. Through that blood, and that is the blood life. And the life is in the blood. And if you don't have that royal blood in you, you don't have life, because you don't have that spirit. It's to the quickening, as that as to the union that brings forth life, and that from the loins of God. Planted in the field is the seed that's in the ground, is to be nourished and brought up as the ear of corn or the cotton, and to be harvested at the right time. So then in this, we realize that the Spirit of the Lord is upon us. The glory is risen upon us. This is the day of grace. We put on our beautiful garments. We've come from the water, and the matrix is open to the birth. And here we are as in the resurrection, which is the birth as to his presence, even as to the head that broke through the spheres into that heavenly place, as to the travail of his own strength. And then the angelic beings as to that holy physician, one after another, bringing forth the membership as to down through the church ages, that it might appear in the end as to the child, even at the time of the 10 toes, as to that which is to symbolic in the stone, as to that Christ, the head coming forth, that will smite the image in its feet. Now, if we're buried with him in baptism, then are we resurrected in life with him, and we do live with him. And they that be of him will have this revelation, if it's nothing but the spiritual birth, as to the Christ within you, the hope of glory, as a little babe. But the more you grow as going through school, the more you develop, the greater and more mightier that you are, and the place that you reach, so great. The charismatics, I do not put the charismatics down. There are a lot of little babes that's mixed up with them people that's nothing but little fellas in their diapers. And they mess up their diapers by doing the things they ought not as pertaining to the world. And then they come back and they glee and they move their little old hands and they jump up and down, you know, and crawl around, as we say, like a little babe on the floor having a time, as mother and daddy kind of make notices it a little bit. And then the others is to belong into pauper when he notices them, as to the corrupt seed. And they're all growing together as to the tear and the rains coming on the just and the unjust, in that God is allowing that for us to revival to get his people out from among them. That is, when Lot comes out of Sodom and Gomorrah, he'll burn the rest of it up. Scorch the people with heat. All these other things he speaks of in the book of Revelation, saying, pray always that you might be able, be counted worthy to be able to escape those things that's coming on the earth. So then in this, I come, as I say, as a spiritual person, if I do that, which I try to do. I try to, as let the Father's Spirit speak through me to your spirit, so I put your flesh down and my flesh down. I try to keep my flesh under subjection so that he can speak. Let it not be me speaking, but him. For I don't know these things as a natural man, and neither do you, nor have I ever in all of my life throughout the world heard any man that ever knowed them. And these things are God speaking to you, because these things belong to God, and they don't come to a man's spirit. They come to the God spirit. And in that you have the Spirit of God, though it may be ever so small, as to whatever measure he can communicate with you, as to on your level, whether it be the meat of the word, as to you have an exercise of senses to be able to discern between the good and evil, and even off with the evil, you take the good. Or whether you be a babe in Christ and you just flounder around, you know, half the time in all of it, and yet the Lord keeps you by his grace as a mother would her little one, washing you and changing your diaper regularly until you can come to the understanding. Well, anyway, that's where we're at. I come in here, I take all the spirits under my control, and that not as a man. If I did that, that would be weird. That would be, if I did that, I come in here and I did that, then that would be witchcraft. Because people that do that out yonder do that in their body and are dead in the sight of God, and that's communication with the dead. And my body's dead by the body of the Lord Jesus. And they that come up here, whether it's me preaching, or whether it's you preaching, or they singing, or you singing, if they're not careful, they'll set a light by the dead. And that's an abomination in the sight of God. You can't set a light by the dead. And that's what the charismatics are doing. That's what the denominational world's doing. Setting a light by the dead, and all they do is reflect it. That is a violation of the law of God. They do that as to Kennedy, the burning torch. So the whole world is an abomination because of their leader and what they've done, to show it by the flame. And when I come up here, I don't do that. I try not to. I try to stay in the Spirit. And therefore, it is the living as to Jesus, the resurrected one, which is not dead. And we communicate with Him because He is not dead. He is resurrected from the dead. And He communicates with you. And if you are a spirit inside, as to a new birth, the old man dead, and the new man or woman is alive, the old woman dead, then that means that you are alive in His presence, and you're communicating as that which lives to that which lives, and being nourished as a babe on to the forming. So I come in here, I take every spirit under my control. How do I do that? By the Holy Spirit. He is the Father of spirits. And His Spirit is so much stronger than your spirit, even as a man's spirit is the woman's spirit, to make her one with Him. So the male spirit is to the bridegroom, to the bride, as to the membership, and as to the children in control. So when I do that, I don't have to come up here and holler something out to you. I just do it by faith. And if everything's just right, then you get under control. You give me your spirits, your mind. I can do just like I'm doing now. What with Jesus, when He sat in a little boat and just talked to them. And I don't have to get exuberant and clap my hand, do all these kind of things, go through the motion or whatever, and drag the cord up and down and holler and stomp my feet and say, Frank, hit the organ real loud and whatever. I don't have to do that. I don't have to sing to you and stir your flesh up. All I do is just get you still, and He begins to speak. When He does, then it's not me but Him, and He understands all things. He knows all things. He knows everything in your heart. He knows all about you. He knows all about me. And if there is any spirits there outside of your spirit, which is already under His control, when the man does this or whoever is in control, see, if there's any other spirits as to fallen angels, which are spirits, demons, powers and rulers of the darkness, or if there are good angels, which are children of light, and they have their light, and with that light, then they are in the world of light, and they are there. In the day that we're living in, you see the black man and the white mixing, which they should, as to the natural, they should come together. God made them to do that because they are of one brotherhood. But in the spiritual, it shows darkness and light trying to come together, which they'll never do. It'll never be. They'll come together as in Christ, like we do out here, because we're children of light and we don't look on the outward appearance as to what a man is. But in the world, it'll never be that way. It'll be a cunning, crafty thing. And each one of those people, whether it be the yellow, the red, the black, the white, as to what they show allegorically, and I'm just using the black and the white because we deal with them regularly here, that with this, they'll never come together. They'll always be working to undermine the other to get control, because it will not be a fellowship as to an interwoven, but rather a control and to enslave, because Satan is the power that enslaves. And if I brought it out today, if I had the time and opportunity to bring it out as to the four horse riders and the seven seals, I could show it to you so very easily and so very clearly, to where there be no way to deny it, even to the pale horse rider. So, when I come in here, I've got control of your spirits. Now, I don't have to be your color or the color I am, because it don't have anything to do with it. Like on the law enforcement, they're having to put black policemen on the force because some of the white men can't handle the black men down in their districts. And they have to have black to handle black. Even like Osborne said one time, a great missionary made the statement that I thought there's a lot of wisdom in. If you're going into the mission field, and he's an expert, said it's best that you convert some of them and let them go to their people, because you might violate their laws, laws that you don't know that even exist. And it's the same way with the law of our natural day. If we're going to come together, you know, they have traits that you don't know nothing about. And the other generation, the other people, as to another type or color, nationality. So when I come in here, I come in here, and as in my case, as to my children, all of you being my children, yet not all of you are my children, whether white or black, or whether Spanish or Japanese or Chinese or whatever, and that we have them all at one time seemingly coming in here. Now, not all of you are my children, but then they hear my voice. The Bible said a stranger they'll not follow. As to that voice that comes to them through the flesh to allure and entice, to use that body to get out of the dry places and to project that evil personality as to the desire for fame, popularity, the gullibleness, all the human relation and all these kind of things, money, prestige, merit and frolic. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God is to the definition of the end time. So then in this, I come here and all the spirits are then under my control. Now I can start feeding you, and yet not I but the Lord. Because he's the father of spirits. I am nursed and fed him as you're fed. While he feedeth, the tree that feeds the branches, as the sap that comes up out of the earth that picks up the elements, as to the direct root, the water, and that deep into the water tables, and as to the little roots that strengthens the tree against, we say, as spirits are speaking, the winds of doctrine, as it sways to and fro, still stands upright. Through these little roots pick up the elements from everywhere and run these elements into the main root, as to the Bible saying, if God had not left us a root, we would not come to Sodom and Gomorrah. But we have as to us in the tree of life, when the old tree of knowledge was cut down, a root called the root and offspring of David, the bright and the morning star. So, as this tree trunk takes the sap to the branches and produces the fruits, even as we have our fruits unto holiness and the end thereof eternal life, and our leaves not wither, our fruit in our season. See, it nourishes the trunk while it nourishes the branches. And the delight is to the people that experience the taste, and the satisfaction is to quench the hunger, even as Jesus looked for figs on the tree and cursed it because it had none, and that it was out of season. So I come in and I take control of your spirits. Then I'm made to know that if your spirit speaks, it has to have a brain. I take control of your spirit. I tap in on your spirit. Paul said, I would that you were spiritual. God is a spirit. Speak unto you as unto spirituals. Not just always preaching to you and singing to you. So, I minister unto you natural things to give you gifts or people to catch your natural attention. I build natural things, natural places, because they had to have a natural art to get them over to the other side. But I'm after your spirit. That is Christ within me is after your spirit. And you see the goodness that leads us to repentance, and then God gets our spirit. Translation into Christ. So you have a brain. I have to tap in on your spirit. When I tap in on your spirit, then I know all of your thoughts. And I perceive your thoughts in my spirit. Not as to extra strong perception, an ESP, as the world calls it, as to science falsely so-called in witchcraft, and witches do tap in on things, just like it did in the days of Samuel, when she called, and she called for a certain thing, and when she did, she saw Samuel, and she saw gods coming up out of the earth. And those gods can be either bad or good. And those gods have to do with you as to good, because you're gods. And she saw gods coming up, and it scared her half to death, because she knew she'd tapped in on reality. God did that to reprove Saul. Having got into the flesh and lost contact with the Spirit, he couldn't get any understanding from God, couldn't make any connections like a lot of churches and pastors of the day. So he began to go to the weird people and go to the intellectual side, is to read the stars and all these things, as we say in the day we're living in, and palm readers and peepers, all these kind of things. Well, when I come in, then I get control of your spirit, and not I, but the Father's spirits. But you have a brain. And see, if I'm going to look in on your life, I have to tap in on your spirit, that your spirit will administer through my brain. And I can't do that as an individual, even as to my spirit, if it doesn't have the Spirit of Christ within me. Hope you'll take this few minutes just kind of explain a little something about the gifts. I usually don't ever have time or a chance to teach on them. Though some people here have gifts, they don't use them because they don't understand. They get all balled up with the flesh and they jump up and prophesy. And ain't nothing to it. They're prophesying in Baal, which is the flesh is to some exuberance because they got excited as the rain on the just and the unjust. And the Bible said, prophesy according to your proportion of spirit. So, giving gifts to men, Jesus resurrected from the dead. You have them as the members of his body. So I tap in on your spirit. I can't do it with my spirit. If I do, I'm not dead. That means I'm not born again. I'm using witchcraft. and I have to be anointed of the devil, or I'm using something that the devil prompt me to, that's called an ESP in the world, extra strong perception. Whereas this is an extra strong perception. It is a God perception which is exceedingly extra strong, not extra strong by Satan, which exceeds that of a man. For the Bible said Jesus, through His extra strong perception, has the Holy Spirit in His heart, perceived as to perception their thoughts within His spirit. And said, why does thoughts arise in your heart? So as to differentiating as to the hairline of deceiving the very elect if possible. See, so I know then that there are demon spirits close by. And that if they speak, that they're going to have to use your brain. And if I get control of your spirit through the Holy Spirit by the name Jesus, and that through the name Jesus, everything in heaven and in earth, whether it's your spirit, demon spirits, under the earth, whatever, has to bow at the name of Jesus. And if through the name of Jesus I take control, I've come in the behalf of Jesus. And if I am one of authority, then as it was with Jesus, they said He spake as one having authority, not as the scribes and Pharisees. Of course, they didn't have any spiritual authority. So then, if I come as one with authority, I'm son of God. And I'll speak His word. And I'll do it according to His will. And everything will be done decently and in order. And I'll put the flesh down, and I'll raise up the spirit. And in the end, the spirit will bring you the glorified body of Jesus. But here, you will be as delivered to death as for the offenses, as to the body of Jesus, healed all the day long, that the world may see Christ in you. In that, a victorian more than victory, or your faith overcoming is the victory, that you might communicate and Christ might speak through you while the body is at a rest and cannot do anything to interfere, as to the middle wall of petition and the infiltration that's in the middle wall, which God smote at Calvary, taking it out of the way, nailing it to the cross, that is to make a more sure way, a perfect way into the holies of holies, as to say, through His flesh. And it would take a lot to go into that. So I take every spirit under my control. Now, if the demons are going to speak, they're going to have to speak through your brain. If I got your spirit under control, they can't speak through your brain, because they've got to catch your spiritual attention, even if they can't get into your spirit. They've got to catch your spiritual attention to use it for a launching pad, as a rebound to come off of that into your brain through your human senses. As to smell, taste, feel, whatever, as to the conductive nerves from the brain. See, and they long to get into your heart, because as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. And if they can get into your heart, they are as the worm in the apple. They own you, and they'll work in there to corruption until death, which is the judgment upon sin, sets in, and they have to go to another body. They'd like to preserve it through medical means and preserve the world government of today under the end, where Satan could have one and be at the head of it as Antichrist, and a lasciviousness with every generation as to defile in the ravishing even of a little child, a little boy, or a little girl, as to perversion and whatever. But he can't get around the penalty of death, which is upon sin. He don't know how. He's scientifically trying with all of his might as to the medical world. And he makes sure that any woman or man that gets in there through another woman or man is a demon within them, that he corrupts that person before they get out of the hospital. As to the expose, or as to taking, messing with that body in every way. Even as I said with dentists and doctors, someday they're going to find this, as to the sedatives, and find the filth and the things that are going on. As to the military, as to that which is the medical, and as that which is as to the streaking through the old tree of knowledge. All of it is a cesspool of iniquity. And they have done it by the cameras they've set there. They found this very thing, that the dentist will push the woman to the man. He'll go to the woman. And they've had cameras. They found out as to what I'm saying. You medically, it's just that way. Even the doctors running off with the women afterwards. Now see, that is the world of corruption, even in the places of the law and judgment. It's like a black sheriff here in Monroe, I believe it was. I got this right. They kept harassing a woman to show you how God deals in judgment. Sister Winnie Floyd, before her death, kept harassing her and jumping all over her about her boys. And she told him one day, she said, I can't help that my boys do wrong, more, you know, than anybody else, me or anybody else. Said, my boys are grown up, and God's going to make you pay for the way you talk to me. Well, God watches after that which is His. The man more or less smirked from what I understood, went on his way, continued his evil.
But one day before Winnie's death, he came back, according to the story, and said, "Winnie, I want to tell you, it happened to me just like you said." Said, "It really happened to me." In the harassment of Winnie and the boys, he said, "I have one son." Said, "That one son right now is on death row, and I can't do nothing about it." Said, "It came to pass." See, God watches after His own, but the corruption is in the upper echelon, in both races, in all races, because there's Japanese when you go over there, there's Germans when you go over there, there are Dutch people when you go over there, and there are Israelite people when you go over there. And it is horrible and unreal. I've seen it happen in Israel when I would chide when the policeman myself and tell them that it wasn't right for them to do what they were doing to somebody that had done nothing. And I happened to be there when it happened. But it's everywhere. All flesh has corrupted its way before God. So then in this, the gifts are there. And when you take control, these good or bad spirits have to use a brain. If they cannot use your brain, then they would have to use my brain. And if you are a Christian, you're going to seal out the evil spirits as they come to you in the form of thought, as to mind the things of the earth, because Satan is just that. And as to them getting into your heart, it's sealed against darkness, and you keep yourself, and the evil one cannot get in there, though he harass the body as the worms that eat off of the flesh, which is in the dirt, and this world is a barren place. As to the worm Jacob and the demon spirits, even those that had bitten the people in the wilderness, looking upon Calvary as to believing unto righteousness, as in the wilderness, the serpents got away from them, and they found peace. And that's the only way you'll find it. The only way you find a tranquility, and to make the confession unto salvation as to the lifting up of that which made the image of sin, which is the old generation of vipers, as to the fall of the garden, as in Adam all die, as to that being the head of the serpent, and him being lifted up as the brazen serpent. So then, that is the impenetrable one. Sin did not penetrate him. And that within the midst of the fire is to the wrath of God, as to the brazen one. Now, if you allow a good angel to speak through you, as the angels come and ministered to Jesus through the inspirational thing as to light your inspired thoughts, or as to the evil ones as to light, the Bible said, and if that light within you be darkness, as to that dark light, Satan, which is a reflector, if that come upon you, then there's an inspiration, but not as unto light, even whether it be a dream as to light of inspiration, or a dream as inspiration unto filthy dreamers. The light being a vision from God. Daniel said, "I dream the vision in my head, trouble me as to light." Or whether it be a dream as to a man, which is your own dream, as to necessitated from your activities of daily living, and that which is pressed upon you as to the necessities of life, and through the multitude of business, the Bible said, your dream. Whatever it might be, as to the 1, 2, 3, being in this condition as to know and to see, especially as a teacher to teach and tutor, as that the church might be profitable, and you can't really tell them these things until they get away from being babies and messing up their diapers and get big enough to where they can at least do a little something to be a helper in the family and help provide the meal. And you can't do it because now even the grown-ups want to play baseball. The church wants to play volleyball. Now then the children's toys are taken away from them, and mom and daddy spends all of their time with their little old games and their whatever they got and pushing them out of the way for the toy games and pushing the buttons and all this kind of things. It's just a mess for children of the world. But anyway, if I come here, then that means that if I have discernment of the Spirit, and the way you discern the Spirit is by the Word. The Bible said the Word is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The thoughts and intents of the heart. And David prayed, "Father, forgive me for the intents of my heart." Even to the intents of the heart, it is a discerner of your thoughts. And to the dividing asunder, even as to the marrow from the bone and the soul from the spirit. And sure enough, when you get into this Word, it's spirit and life. And once you become one with the Word, and that's what you are, if you're a child of God, you're the Word made flesh, you're the body of the Lord Jesus, which was the Word made flesh, as to whatever measure you've yielded. See, and your prophet then appears to all according to that measure of Christ within you, the hope of glory, as to administration. And this life being made manifest in your mortal genes. So then in this, when we understand that we take authority and that we have this word spirit, this word mind, then this spirit will discern and differentiate between your soul and your spirit and give the revelation of it and separate it and show it as from its origin as to its union and what it does and what happens at the end. It will divide, even as scientists falsely so-called attempts to do, the marrow from the bone, to understand the marrow and the bone and define it as to its spiritual meaning and application and what it has to do with the natural, because it also gives you the natural. Even words. Continually the Spirit speaks to you about a word. A man expresses the word. And the word might be, pardon me, a compound word, which most words are, as to allegoric meaning as well as natural meaning. And perhaps never in your life would you have ever considered. But as you hear it say a word, which has been hundreds of words to me, a word, all of a sudden you say, well, I never knew that in your mind. Well, I never knew that. You know, I never even heard them teach that in school, nor have I heard anybody express it. But that word is a derivative from whatever, and that word is why it's expressed the way it is because that is what that is. It's so beautiful. Understanding all things. You have an unction from the Holy One that you should know all things because you're the God body. And though ye are just a measure of the God body, yet you're connected with the other measure. And the other measure, as Ezekiel said, can these bones live again as Israel to the symbolics? See, as this meeting we had over there, it was Israel. I said it had to do with Israel symbolic. Some things we would have said about the pyramid. And there it was. I said the valley of dry bones and who was passing out the water when I was preaching but Ezekiel. So, what happened as to the sign going up, but that which showed the raptures to my wife, which I said had to do with the bride, is to the launching pad, where it is lifted off at the launching pad in Florida. So, if I am here, and those spirits are going to speak, I can pick them up, I can differentiate, I can do like Joseph, I can interpret the dream, because I can discern as between the marrow of the bone, the soul, and the spirit, the thoughts of the heart, as to what kind of thoughts, whether good thoughts, bad thoughts, whether human thoughts, I can differentiate, I can tell. See, so I can tell exactly who you are by, as Jesus said, who do men say that I am? James and John, sons of thunder. When I pick up your spirit, in the spirit, the mind of God that knoweth all things, then I know who you are, where you are, what you are. I know what you're supposed to be doing. I know what you are doing as to whether you're conducting yourself right in my presence or not, unless the Lord hides it. Not in my presence, but his presence. As the mind said, Jesus, I can do nothing, I know nothing. But through him I know all things, which that is resented by Satan. He doesn't believe that. I can feel something when I say that, a little slight thing that you hold back yourself because that human thing strikes at you because it's Satan. He wants to feel he's the know-all. Scientists falsely so-called, the Einsteins of the world. And you're nothing but a bunch of reprobates and you don't know nothing. And the priesthood, and you shouldn't even have prayer in school. It confuses things, and it really does for the devil, so he can't control you, to make you a bunch of ignoramuses, so he can control you and enslave you, because that's what the spirit does, whether it's money or whatever, and that's what the man parole, that's what will be done. As to the money, what, about $3 billion or more? Not somebody sent from God, only in the sense that that spirit that said, let me go down to see the people, though he says, I'm going to buy it back. When accused of buying the government, said, I'm going to buy it and give it back to the people. He knows he's lying. And he knows he isn't walking with God. A man with $3 billion couldn't be walking with God in doing his lifetime. Millions of people starving to death and billions of people in need around the world. You tell me I couldn't spend $3 billion and a couple more billion to go with it? And that in just a little while. And that if he thinks that much of the public, why didn't he give them $3 billion to help offset the national indebtedness? See, what he's going to do is his thing, just like he has done. Has to make the $3 billion and get control of the people and enslave the people as to his own things to bring an Antichrist because it's moving toward an independency, whether it be him or whoever it might be. And as to the capstone of the thing to bring the end of the church ages, as to the mysteries being finished, you as the church being sealed in, as to a group somewhere that through the administrative thing it might continue. As we say, if a physician says, this person is dead, I say, but they're still breathing. They're still talking. I still see them. Say, but clinically they're dead. That is to say, this thing is terminal. See, and now the mysteries being, as to a terminal point being finished, the mysteries being the church, as to a terminal point being already sealed in,
as to running right on to that, as to the chains. See, everything is well set in order. And my, what I would like to say today that I can't say, that would take so long to speak of what I wanted to speak of. Now, getting back to our thought and then closing, as to the gifts, he gave gifts unto men. As to those angels, then I can discern as to what is using your brain and what is not using your brain, as to what happens here when the Lord discerns and says such and such. Not only that, but exactly what he's saying to you. And shielding the person. Like I talked to Danny the other day, Danny had to pull 12 hours. He got hard on a DUI, his first DUI. He was drinking a little bit. Not drunk. A black judge gave him 24 hours and finally lessened it to 12 hours. Danny got in the cell, and Danny was so sick, even to the sheriff saying that I would have turned him loose. But the judge was so stern about him having to serve the 12 hours. Told me myself, and just about how to let him loose. Now, Danny, he couldn't handle it. He had been in prison before. He had it, but he couldn't handle it. And they let him out long enough to talk, being sick. He called me. He said, "Dad, I can't handle it. This time I just can't handle it." He said, "I'm so sick." And, I said, "Danny, I'm going to pray for you and you can handle it." I prayed for him. When I prayed for him, way over here and him way over there, I saw what the Lord did, what was said, what Danny's heart said. And I told him, I said, "Danny, there it is." I said, "It hit you." I said, "And when it hit you," I said, "you felt it and you got it." I said, "And this is what it said, and thus and thus and thus." I said, "And you can handle it." He said, "Daddy, it happened that way." I said, "I can handle it." He went right back and handled it. See, it's not being here looking at you through some extra perception. See, as a natural thing. But then you know that spirit. You become well acquainted with all those spirits, that you're not ignorant of the devices of Satan, when it looks like somebody's working with you and all these things, and yet you know that they're set there to spite your liberty, and they're right there to hinder everything that you're going to do. And just as quick as you make a move, put them in charge or put them in the midst of you, they're going to run interference. Because Satan knows that you have a lifespan, and the more he can hinder it, the older you get and the less active that you're going to be in the natural, unless God is with you to make your strength as your day. And with that, he's going to hold you up and hinder you as much as he can to protect his kingdom and his strongholds. And that in that, it's like that of a foreign nation being among you, seeing spying at your liberties and sending the data back until he can hold it, till he can make everything obsolete and squash the thing because of foolishness, while he makes you hunger and thirst after the things of the world, overwhelms you with the enticing thing, which he's doing to you right now in all the world, as to alluring them away from eternal life and away from the simplicity which is in Christ. A lot of things I'd like to say about that, but I'm going to say this in close, just these few little words. See, if I'm up here, then that means that I can know. If you're up in the Spirit, then that means that you can know. And that means you can know a person's life, and everything that a man's ever done, is signed to say, is within his life. It's like a memory bank back there. Actually, according to the Bible, everything that he ever has done, there's not one tiny iota of it lost. It's in a memory bank that is called the Spirit. And I use the memory bank terms not because of science that I've heard, but that's the way I understand it. So it's back there, and the secrets of your heart's going to be judged, and you want to judge the saints of God out of what you have retained, and not the saints but the world, as saints of God, out of what you retain here, according to those thoughts that you're going to remember, be brought back to your memory, everything you ever done. So then that means that you have everything in here. And if I come into your world, which is your spiritual world of mind as to life and understanding, whether it be darkness or light, whether it be as just a natural man which is in darkness, interwoven as to with the flesh, as to the oppression of darkness, until he comes to the knowledge of light, or having given himself to darkness. See, whatever it is, you as children of light are going to comprehend the fullness of it, moving on to the great full reward, according to whatever you'll allow. See, and the children of the world, as to know the depths of Satan, on and on and on, to the deep, dark, despairs of that of the dungeon. And when these lives are there, or spirits are there, they have a purpose. They come for a purpose. Even as the light came to Jesus to minister strength to him, and the others is to get out of the dry places that they might, as Jesus tempted, to get into that body to control, to enlarge upon as to Satan's kingdom, and to put forth the lasciviousness as to the filth, and entice you as to the inspiration of the flesh and the lust thereof, as angels coming and mating with human beings through the body. We cast the devils out. We cut the devils off. We bring light and darkness flees. And we give strength to those that are in the darkness. The church is going into darkness now, the church world. Gross darkness shall cover the people at the evening time. And people are getting weaker and weaker, more sleepy. Because at the midnight cry, all was asleep, the wise and the foolish. And the watchman on the wall is thus responsible. And then it's to the coming of the midnight cry, when they have been sound asleep for X amount of days or months or whatever it would be, as to a spiritual thing. Then the cry, behold, the bridegroom cometh. And folks, something is beginning to stir. Something is to begin to stir. Then the confusion starts as to the people that went darkness down in the valley when Gideon and his people broke the light from the upper rims around that valley. Darkness in that lower rim as to the valley. They begin to kill each other. That's where your racial strife comes from. They're fighting with one another and they don't have enough sense to quit. When I look out there, I say, what do I think about them people as to color? I don't judge people according to color. I say that they are blinded by the ignorance that is within them. They don't have any understanding at all. They are fighting each other and they are killing each other without enough common sense to realize that whether a man's black or white, he's needed because he's had to build these buildings and engineer these buildings and plant the crops and had to be as from the candle maker to the shoemaker, and that every one of them is supposed to be their brother's keeper, helping one another. Even as over in Africa, some of the greatest potentials that we have that we cannot operate unless we have the utilization of those potentials that the Africans have, not even the hospitals. And here we are, our brother's keeper, as to rubber from one country and sugar from one country, or though we might raise a little sugar here as to cane, whatever. See, and this bunch of youth coming up as a sinful, adulterous generation, having blinded the elders, they've got slap out of bounds. They don't know what to do with their intellectual reasoning. And they've got out there as a bunch of crazy people and doped up and after passions of demons, after passions in one another and money and position and temper and to satisfy their wrestling and their karate and all this other kind of thing, that hunger and thirst to kill and to steal. And this youthful generation is wrecking society, wrecking everything, tearing down everything where people one time dwelt together in peace. And now the whole world is ready to fall in on them, and God's ready to burn it up. And they're taking each other's wives away from each other. They'll buddy together today. And tomorrow that man will have his wife in his car and be gone. And he'll be his best friend. Like they said of Billy the Kid, sitting in a cell, Billy notched his gun. I've been out west, and I'm sure you have, where the real Billy the Kid was a little red-headed guy with buck teeth. Daddy and mother dead, growed up, killed because he's trying to get a living, whatever. Notched his gun, such a killer. But said, caught in prison, would have hanged him. There gambling with the keeper. As they gambled together, the more he got the confidence of the man, as he got the confidence of the man. Then the man began to feel a little friendly toward him and let down a little, and first thing you know, Billy had the gun, blowed his brains out, escaped. See, no honor among thieves. As them two men the other day, I gave them some money, a piece and a tract. One of them gullibly grabbed both of it, folded it up to where the other man couldn't see it, stuck it in his pocket. And that was it. See, that's the way the world is. And folks, that's the way the church has got. The congregation is not with the preacher. And the preacher is not with the congregation. Neither are the people together with each other. Neither are businessmen or whatever. Every man looks to his own quarter. So bringing it to a close, as to the gifts, looking at it according to godliness, the way that God sees it. There are a lot of church people that's mixed up in those things. A lot of church people. Even Bethlehemites. So, looking at it, I have to be as a physician with an x-ray. And I have to look beyond your flesh. And I have to see who you are and what your condition is. And that's why I know that we've got some of them at Bethlehem.
and I know you who you are. The Bible said God knoweth him that it is. The seal of God standeth sure as to that Holy Spirit sealing your inner man, that God knoweth them that belong to him. All right, so then we see that if I went on elaborating on this, we'd know more and more if you are of the light and haven't already come to the understanding. As to the gifts, how to use the gifts, what it'll take, and it's going to take self-denial of the outer man. That's why you don't see much use of the gifts. And it's going to take some understanding, just as it would in any natural, scientific, typical way of life, as to build a car or to produce those fine things that people enjoy. A productive life with Christ. Let's stand together. And you can see by this that I never did come to bringing out what I wanted to bring out. Just dropped a thought or two here and there. Might be on your mind in the way of remembrance when the Spirit of the Lord gets a chance to talk to you again. God is always talking to you. I might say to Chris there, Chris, go tell Brother Taylor, I said thus and thus. In the Old Testament, it was that way God spoke to the prophets. He told the sons of the prophet, go on thus and thus. And they would go just like it was the prophet himself saying, thus saith the Lord. School of prophets. Till today, preachers learn and go out by the same means and preach in the same means. But then I might have Chris so oriented in the things of my mind till he's been with me day and night, till his mind don't even live in him. It's just the body that he just echoes what I say as to, and he's speaking right through it. And then it would be me speaking directly to the individual, and so it is when the preacher comes. I always preach to you, I do whatever as the Lord tells me, trying to. But it's so wonderful that when he can speak directly to you, as you think in your heart, the word of spirit and life, the same to a thousand generations. The gifts, we could elaborate on them as to how from the point where we stopped, as to what we brought you up to in our tutoring, that we could pick it up right there and can go right on bringing it down to where, like when you learn a person to play the piano, every note. I used to learn somebody to play the piano just one little note or a guitar, and they had one little song, and I could take them in just about 15 minutes. I'd have them play it. And they were automatically musicians. I could enlarge upon that. Seeing there's a way, there's a rhythm of everything. A rhythm. I told you this before, and I'll hurry and say it by quick. Playing a guitar, I always wanted to write music. I never been tutored in music. I didn't know nothing about music. It was one of the biggest wildernesses that I ever seen in my life. And it had to do with all kind of numerical approach as to the order of music. Whether it was fractions or whatever. And I was just lost in it. But one day I prayed and I said, the Lord, I know you can teach me. And the Lord impressed me to pick up my guitar, which I did. I made a chord, which I, with a regularity done, trying to play. And then I heard something whisper. And from thence, it is thus and thus and thus and thus. And my fingers just moved right along. And I said, oh my God, all these years, I never knew that. And there it was, in a rhythmic form, the notes on the guitar, just as if a professional had to sit there, told me all about it as to where the notes was, how it running, what it was. And I thought, my, this is just astounding. I was just carried away. And then something said, pick up the pencil and write. I thought, write music. And I picked it up, and there it was, jot, detail, right down the line, as to the notes, as to the clefs, as to the little things called the rest, and as to the diminishing, as to the augmented, and all these different things, and there it was, just the Lord just started unraveling the whole thing. So beautiful it is, because I will give you the desires of your heart if you delight yourself in me. And you will find that in the music, such an astounding thing, that it also is allegoric, and that it shows the church ages, as to the lines, the spaces, the clefs, and whatever. Oh, so beautifully it shows the spiritual things. So singing and melody is so lovely. Let's sing together. You pray for me and maybe get to talk a little bit another time. Most of the time I just go over the same songs with you.
so that it can be a rhythmic thing coming from your spirit. I've noticed Brother Branham used to, about most of the songs he ever sang was, I love him, all there shall be light in the evening time. One, two little songs, you know, which was wonderful. As Rebecca said not too long ago in writing a little article, we've really hit the singing and the musical thing hard, because we saw that it would go out with that as the translation of the church, and how that converted over to the wrong thing. And she said after these many years, growing a woman who had raised the family, her and George, then she said, you know, she said, I've come to learn something. And that is the songs that they're singing in the church. Said, God's not in that. And she went on to express the kind of songs and the way the songs were to be sang and whatever as to the moving in the spirit. And sure enough, folks, that's the way it is. That's the way it is. Turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, whether it be with a ball game or race, singing a rock and roll, whatever it might be. But let's sing this little chorus together. And this chorus is, I love him. I sing that a lot, not because of Brother Branham, but because I remember where the Bible said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And a lot of times we sing this. While we sing, the altars are open. Appreciate your patience being with me. Things come off of tape, go into books, into all the world. This thing has been hindered until our ladies have taken hundreds of messages off of tape, never had them printed. There's been such a hindrance with people that's running to beer half the time and jail half the time, going all kinds of things, and the books never really get sent out, just enough to keep me pacified. When there's hundreds of them are waiting to go out, as somebody told me the other day when I asked about it. And the ladies work hard to get them all ready, and then the people just play around and won't do anything about it. Spend, eat, drink, go, but don't want to do anything for God. Let's sing this chorus. I love him. Can you sing that? I love him. All because that he first loved me, and he purchased my salvation on Calvary. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the Word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Every promise in God's book, it is thine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. Wouldn't you like for it to be said of you the way it was said of Jesus? When the Lord said concerning John, and he shall be called great in the sight of God, and he shall be called great. Out of all of them that's born among women, not a greater than John. Notwithstanding, the Bible said, he that is least in the kingdom of God, even as you and me, we are the least. And yet, the Bible said, we are greater than John. Now, what makes a man great? We say, as to not many of the great people call, as to them in the upper echelon, as to with their knowledge. Remember, knowledge controls all things, not money. Money answers to all things. But the man that's got knowledge controls the man with the money. Who then is great? To the great men of the world, the Einsteins, we're but babes. The Bible says this is revealed unto babes. Those people, as to money or knowledge, they're great. They have the reward, the prestige, whatever. Who then is great? He that hath the knowledge.
as to Christ's knowledge, as to the measure of the mind of Christ. So then is your education, as to the world, as to the type, so is your way of life with Jesus. Not how much you shout and holler and jump and act spiritual. You're just being emotional. But as Jesus, who was very calm, that sat in and talked to the people, taught them and led them, but crucified the body, but was mighty in word, as was his word of authority, having sent his word as to the word of God, being the power, even God in the beginning, and the word cast out the unclean spirits, and the word created all things, and the word hath created you, and by the power of his word, he healed the sick. So as to this law, as I mentioned the other night, as to their law, I turn to their law book. So everything in Christ's world orbits around this, as does all things around the sun. Who then is great among you? Jesus said, if one desire to be great, then you know he's of the world. You know, we say in the world, let him be the shoeshine boy, and it's nothing against shoeshine boys. A lot of good folks make a living that way, especially in the foreign countries. But said, let him be your servant. If he thinks he's smart and intelligent and great, said he's just great enough to be your servant. But if there be one among you that is great, he'll be your minister. That is, he'll minister unto you. Not always, just as to the ministering of the word. For the Bible said, as it was when the mother-in-law was healed, as to Peter's wife's mother, she arose and ministered unto them. Not as the perversion of the world saying she preached them a sermon, but she must have cooked them some biscuits or whatever in that day. They probably didn't have biscuits, but she ministered to them as a woman would do if you came to be her guest. And Jesus said, as to that kind of ministering, I didn't come to be ministered unto. I'll wash your feet. I came to minister. But who then is great among you? He that ministereth to you. Let them be your leaders. And them that are to be your leaders, let them be filled with the spirit of a good report of them that are without, is that they don't do the evil things out there in hypocrisy, and be of a good report of them that are within, the church people that love them as true brethren, and let them be filled with the spirit and filled with wisdom if they're going to be leaders. And who is great among you? According to the Bible, let him be set as your judge, which are least esteemed among you. Not as to least esteemed, as to the children of God esteeming them, for they esteem them greatly and very highly for their work's sake, but as to that which the world esteems, for the world loveth its own, and it's down on anybody that is your leader. As Paul said, the leaders mistreated all the time, spoke against all the time. See, but to God, that which is esteemed out in the world is to the people reveling in the world and the celebrities and all of the people of frolic among the sports of the world. The Bible says an abomination in the sight of God. But set him least esteemed as to, if he be least esteemed in the world, he's going to be more profound in the things of God. He's going to know more because he's applied himself more, and that's what brought him to be frowned on by the world, because Jesus said, I testify of you that your ease or your deeds are evil, and for this you hate me. And Paul said, I tell you the truth, and for this I become your enemy. Let's lift our hands up, close our eyes, sing this little chorus. Now, we didn't have much singing this morning, beginning or to the end, but we did get across a few thoughts. Let's get a vision, folks, as I told the brethren last night. Get away from the natural. Don't mind the things of the world. Keep telling yourself that you're great with God, that you're one with the Lord. Come into the mind of Christ, for God works through the mind of Christ, and the things of God knoweth only the Spirit is the mind of Christ. And all these great, wonderful things, even as to the gifts, will be with you, and even as Philip's daughters when they prophesied. And your profiting will appear to all as to the blessing of the church. Even as the word prophetess in the Old Testament, great, mighty things are still revealed to man and woman, because God considers your body not as male and female. Even to the little children, for he said, out of the mouth of babes I perfected praise.
out of the mouth of sucklings.
Don't forget to pray for the meeting out in Colorado. If somebody goes, go to be spiritual, go to listen, go to encourage, because in the meetings like that I have to deal quite a lot with the flesh, because they're babes and they don't understand spiritually, and a lot of times you have to put out your hand as to give a little nibble of something natural, catch their attention with a natural blessing that they might see. And when you become so spiritual, you know, as to one entering into a house, you don't tear down the doorsteps, because the children need to find their way. So some of the natural allegoric things, even as the washing of feet, the Lord's Supper, we still practice. Let's sing that little chorus that we sing so often. And I will praise Him. And while you go to feed, you'll leave the church and you'll go back to your natural way of life, your natural mind, and you have to watch and pray for the natural disasters. And as the little girl, give her something natural to eat that she might not die again, and that I've resurrected her from the dead, and the body has to have substance, even as Jesus sought for the fig. But be temperate in all things. Let your moderation be known in all things, whether it's passions or eating, buying or selling, working, making money, whatever. Put Christ first. Seek the things that are from above. For I will pray. While you're doing these things, don't let the body get the best of you. Satan gets you so energetic that you eat yourself to death. Careless in talking that you run into a car, or that you carelessly get temperamental and say things, or you have thoughts that are not spiritual and not sacred, in that you're called as to the inner man and the outer man to virtue and to glory. And don't let your mind be carried away with the natural things of the world as to natural securities, to make provision for your flesh so you can just lounge back. For the Bible said, woe unto them that are at ease in Zion. There's a Calvary, there's a cross. Take up your cross. That means make a sacrifice and do something for God every day. Or have one woe come and then another woe, sorrow and heartaches. Then your health will return unto you speedily when you help the widow and the orphans. And God will hear before you call, and He'll be your reward. Hide upon the high places of the earth to be rich in no sorrow. While you're worshiping the Lord, just for a minute or two, again, I appreciate you coming to church. I appreciate your attention. And I could come and be, as a lot of people, with a popcorn sermon to give you the exhilaration of singing and just exalt you a little bit as to something as to God will bless you, God will prosper you, God will put you in health, I'll pray for the sick, and all the natural things that Satan desires of that which he hath perverted as to the ministry, to have the teeming millions follow him, that the leader might fall, and they also, as to the blind leading the blind, all of them fall into the ditch. They get confused and don't know what happened. The lights go out. Trim the wicks. Check the oil. See if you're just coming to church or if you're spiritual and have the Spirit of the Lord in you. If you're motivated by the Spirit, as many as are led by the Spirit of the sons of God. While we're waiting with our heads bowed, there's many things that's coming your way. In the Bible, there's one called Mark. It's to the four Gospels. In his writings, Mark 11:22, if you abide in me, the Scriptures is taught, abide my word, it in you, you'll ask what you will be done. In Mark 11:22, it said, say what you will. Believe in your heart. Don't doubt. That is, get rid of the intellectual interference as the old natural mind that causes you to doubt. Get in there spiritually and pray to build strength as to the spirit of strength as Christ within you. And put down that flesh by fasting, abstain, doing away with your natural substance to receive that is to save your life in that world and not this one. Is to lose it in this world. If you do, try to save it here. And as Mark said there,
11:22. And if you have aught against any, Mark said, forgive, that God also may forgive your trespasses. For if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. And while we're standing here, I'm going to call Mark up here. I'm going to ask Mark to come and pray. While he comes to close the service, consider me when you pray. Consider God's way of life. Consider the things of God. And folks, be great in His sight. For if you are a child of God, even though your little knowledge of that Christ within you, the hope of the glory of God, and He said, Father, glorify these with the same glory I had with Thee before the world was, just that little touch, as you would say, inwardly as to the new birth, then that means that you're greater than John. Though there's none greater than John as to the Old Testament, yet in the New, you're greater than John. And you'll grow to a greatness as to that light and that revelation of the coming of the Lord, as to eradicate the impurities from that old body until that life is made manifest and there won't be any filth of the flesh, as Paul called it, left in you at all from the fall.